this morning is from John 21. Just a few verses. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So let me start with a knock-knock joke, all right? Knock-knock.
There.
Olive.
Olive.
I love you too.
Aww.
So recently, I've been telling people I love them, and if you really want to have an awkward moment, tell someone you love them. Now, certain people you're probably good at, but even those who, you know, it's amazing that even family members hold that back. Maybe they never heard it themselves. But I have recently been telling people I love you, and it's interesting that there's like a split second, like, are they going to send it back or not? You know, it's like, I'm not going to force you to, and it doesn't matter. If you don't feel it, don't say it. But it's amazing how once you say I love you, there is a vulnerability, there's an intimacy immediately. And then the person has to think, does he expect me to say that back, or should I say it back? So that's the challenge today, to be okay to say that. And I'll share why I want you to be okay to say that to anybody that you know. Today, Jesus cuts right to the chase. You know, Jesus goes right to Peter. Peter goes right to Jesus. And he says, "Do you love me?" Three times he says, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And so it reminds me of a funeral I had this week. Peter Sauer's father died at the age of 89. He shared in the testimony, in the eulogy, at a testimony that his father, all growing up, he never said, "I love you." And then a few years back, Peter just said, "I'm just going to tell my dad I love him." And he said, "Dad, I love you." And his dad said, "I love you too." And from that moment on, because Peter kind of, you know, broke the ice, so to speak, they had this wonderful I love you, and hugs and kisses. And he's like, "I'm so happy I finally just said it." Amen. Now, there might be someone you need to tell I love you today, and I want you to think about it. I challenge you to tell someone that you haven't told in a long time, just those three simple words, "I love you," because this scripture is just a beautiful, you know, the Bible says that Peter's hurt the third time, and you know it's because there's a charcoal fire there on the shore of Galilee. It's the risen Lord Jesus. And Jesus knows that Peter's holding on to the weight of guilt of denying Jesus three times. Three times he's asked, "You're with him, right? You're one of his..." "No, I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't know the man." And so he has this terrible shame, and three times now he's asked, "Do you love me?" And there's a charcoal fire. Jesus is cooking fish. The risen Lord is preparing food, breakfast. And so it's not easy for Peter, but he runs to Jesus. And it is uncomfortable that he asks three times, "Do you love me?" But, you know, love is uncomfortable, right? It's awkward. There's never anything easy about it when you're called to love someone when they're maybe not lovable, or maybe they've made mistakes and you're calling to forgive them. But it's beautiful that Jesus doesn't first ask Peter. Now, this is Peter with all that guilt and shame. He doesn't say, "Are you sorry for what you've done? Have you thought about your mistakes and how you failed me? Can you promise me right now that you won't do that again?" He says, "Do you love me?" And Jesus asks you the same thing today. Jesus asks each of us, not of obedience, not for repentance, not for vows, not for good conduct, but for a heart. Jesus wants your heart. And when that's given, everything else will follow. You know, in a way, Jesus doesn't want to be your acquaintance, right? Jesus does not want to just kind of know you a little bit and be known by you a little bit. Jesus wants a close relationship. Jesus wants a face-to-face. In fact, the Gospel of Luke says the third time when Peter denies Jesus, they lock eyes. I think the third time here he asks Peter, do you love me? They lock eyes, right? It's kind of like asking your kids, did you do your schoolwork? Yeah. Did you do your schoolwork? Yes. Did you do your schoolwork? Then you get the real answer, right? And so here we have this beautiful... Now, I want to have you leave with this understanding of this, the exegesis. That's the study of the words. When Jesus uses the word love and Peter uses the word love, they're two different words. Now, we have one word for love in the English language. I love that Dairy Queen's open. I do. I love the Patriots. I love the Celtics. They got to win the next game. But that's a lot different than saying I love my wife, right? Or, you know, from I love my car to I love a person. There's a difference there. So this scripture, it's in the Greek, and there's multiple words for love in Greek. And so when Jesus says, do you love me? He's using the Greek word agape. Peter answers with the Greek word philia. Now I'm picking up my son Shaw tomorrow from Temple University in Philadelphia. Philia means brotherly, sisterly love, a friend, right? So when Jesus says, do you love me? Do you agape love me? He's saying, do you love me with a love that's unconditional, that's sacrificial, that's not, the beautiful words is a universal, unconditional love that transcends and persists regardless of circumstances. It's a divine love, a holy love. It's the highest form of love. It's not like, I love you, bro. It's not that. It's not like Julian Edelman to Tom Brady, which that's beautiful love after they won the Super Bowl when they go, I love you, man. I love you. This is deeper. And Peter's not understanding it all, but Jesus is saying, do you love me with an agape love? That's sacrificial. That means you think of others above yourself. Sacrificial love. That's why it's three times. And so for us this morning, when we come up for Holy Communion, I want you to think about answering that question. Do you love Jesus with an agape love? Because Jesus loves you with that unconditional love that's not keeping a record of wrongs. It's Jesus died for you on the cross. Think of all the things you've done that you don't think you can be forgiven from. You are. When Jesus says it is finished, you're forgiven. And it's so beautiful to have that love be part of our love. So when you say I love you to someone, I want you to know that when you say that and you put that out there, you are saying I'm going to agape love you. I'm going to love you when I don't really like you that much or you've failed me. I'm still going to love you. It's more of a love by choice than by emotion. You know, this week there were a couple people that loved with an agape love. They literally gave their lives, and I'd like to lift them up by name. And two people, one woman in a synagogue in California. And we remember Lori Gilbert Kay, because she jumped in between the assailant and her rabbi. And she literally took a bullet. She gave her life so that he would live and others would live. And then when you read about Lori Gilbert Kay, you learn that she lived her life that way. And she, what story that came up was that she visited someone who was battling breast cancer, and she visited her every day and traveled with her through treatment all the way until that woman died. This Lori Gilbert Kay said, I'm going to give of myself. I'm going to give my time and my energy and my emotion, my heart, when it's hard and it's difficult, and I'm going to say I love you and I'm going to show I love you with this agape love. And same with this young man down at the University of North Carolina. And his name is Riley Howell, 21 years old, where a man came in, started shooting a classroom, and he couldn't run, he couldn't hide, but he could run towards that young man with a gun, and he tackled him, and he gave his life so that others would live. Literally, the chief of police said that Riley Howell gave his life, he sacrificed his life so others could live. Now, you might not be called to do this anytime, I don't know, but I want you to live a life so that when you are in that moment, when you can give of yourself or not, you do, whatever it might be. It can be something simple, something large, but We are called to be sacrificial. Saul hears Jesus say personally, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Anytime you hurt someone, you literally hurt God. You hurt Jesus. And 1 John 4 says, if you say you love God but hate your brother, you're a liar. You cannot do those two things. They don't go together. So I want you to know, when you come up for communion, we confess our sins. We say we're broken and we need help. But I ask you to ask yourself, how can I show that I love Jesus? Feed my sheep. Sheep need, right? We're sheep. All people are sheep, right? Everyone is like a sheep or a lamb, very vulnerable. They're alone. They suffer. They need care, right? They're not necessarily like the predators, right? They're prey. And so Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. We're called to do the same thing. And what does it mean to lay down your life for someone? It's actually thinking of them above yourself. So I want you to think about that today as you come up. Last week we had someone who was in tears, and right after church it was beautiful to see a few people go towards that person, not away, but go towards that person and then sit in the back and hold their hand and pray with them and just listen. If you just say, I'm going to listen to someone today, doesn't mean you wave a wand and make everything right, but you remind that person that they're loved and they're not alone. Amen. It was just beautiful to see that happen. That person was so moved by the word of God that they let their hearts crack open. And this weekend we had young people fast for 24 hours. And there's a guy, Zach Johnson, that if you want to look at him, he picked up all these logs with Jeff Ward. He's a big, strong, strapping kid. And he needed a ride to work from Windsor Ridge Apartments to Staples. And he says, I hate to walk underneath that bridge at McDonald's on Route 30 because I got to run through there. There's no sidewalk. I almost get hit by a car every day when he does it. He said, and I'm like, I'll give you a ride. I have plenty of things to do. I said, I'll pick you up. I'll bring you to work. Now, that's just a little thing. But I know for Zach, it was like somebody cares. Somebody wants you to know that you're loved. The 153, if you read that whole chapter, when they have this great catch of fish, they count 153. And some say that was the known countries in the world at that time. Someone says if you take the Greek numerical value of Peter, the word Peter and the word fish, it comes to 153. I think it was because somebody actually counted each one. Just like we count, Jeff Ward goes up in the balcony and goes, Tim Wright's here, Tim Fingers here, Laurel Fingers here, Jim Montague's here, Judy Montague's here, Shelley Brunel. You are actually counted. You count. Can I hear an amen? And so I want you to think of how important it is to confess that we have not loved like Jesus. So we love because Jesus first loved us. And Peter did for 35 years before he gave his life for the gospel. He did. He fed sheep with the word of God. I don't know if you heard of the two people that were out in the ocean down off the shore of St. Augustine, two teenagers treading water, and they prayed. They literally prayed. They were Christians. And a boat showed up and saved them, and the name of the boat was Amen. Amen. So today's the day I hope you will say to somebody, I love you. You know, you hold back. I know I hold back, but I'm like, I'm just throwing it out there. It might stick or it might not. It might be, I love you too, Pastor John. You know, but I hope you can say that when you say that, that you're loving them with a godly, holy, divine, sacrificial love, that it's God through you, and that you can ask God to maybe tell that person today. Don't hold back. Too many of us do that. We think somehow if we tell more people we love them, we run out of love. My cup runneth over. Amen? I love you, Marilyn. Thank you. Thank you. Marilyn, does it touch your heart when someone says, I love you, Marilyn? How does that make you feel?
Great.
Great. Amen. So we're going to have a quick little blessing on the cup and the bread. I want to share with you that someone in our congregation made homemade bread for us. We're gonna lift this up. We're going to break it. Because there's something about just the visual that this is the body of Christ broken for you. When I say that it's broken, you see it breaking. But I want to lift up a few folks in our prayer request. Jeff Kaufman's having hip surgery on Wednesday. Elizabeth Kubota still recovering from knee surgery. That's why we have John and Denise and Cynthia helping out. And so we also want to lift up prayers this morning for some other folks that I'd like to lift up. Dot Zwicker's turning 102 years old. Amanda Nani, that's on Thursday, May 9th. Amanda Nani's bringing her little daughter with me, Valeria, who's turning 9. I mean, on the 9th, she's turning 4. So we're going to have this beautiful 102-year-old turning 102. Dot Zwicker, our oldest member, oldest person in Westboro, I believe, and this little sweet girl, Valeria, 4 years old. We're going to have them be together on Thursday together. And I wanted to lift up that today, some of the outreach committee, myself included, we're going to be going to the Worcester Recovery Adolescent Unit. We're going to have a spring party for teenagers that are at Worcester State Hospital. Many people forget them. We're going in and we're going to have fun with them. We're going to look them in the eye. We're going to tell them that God loves them and they're not alone. I'm going to say to one of those kids today, God loves you and we love you too. And I know it's going to touch their hearts. So let's pray. Let's ask a blessing. We also want to lift up a woman named Dorothy. Jonathan Owen texted me. Dorothy was a mother to a family we helped last year through Appalachia Service Project. She died in a car accident. And so we just want to pray for the whole family and how that affects. But Dorothy, we love you and God loves you. Maynard Rinker, too. We don't want to forget Maynard Rinker, who's 93, had a fall this week. He's recovering at Beaumont Rehab in Worcester. If you'd like to go visit him, he loves visits. He's doing well. He's in room 403 if you'd like to go say hello to Maynard. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless this bread and this cup that it would be your body and blood for us today. As you took the bread and gave thanks, you broke the bread and you said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you, the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink as often as you shall in remembrance of me for the forgiveness of sins." Thank you, God, that you love Peter and you love us and you expect us to receive this love and share this love. We ask you to bless our hearts. We confess our sin. We want to be right with you. There's nothing greater. And we thank you that here in this place, we can partake of you, take you to be within us so that we can love with your agape, unconditional love. We pray all this as we pray a prayer that you've taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.